Right, welcome, Tanya. I'm just got to meet you last week. Really glad you're here. You know the deal. You can take as much time as you like. So looking forward to hearing your story. Thanks.
Thank you, Jim. Hi, Tanya. I'm saying alcoholic in recovery now. Still don't like the word alcoholic, so I like recovering alcoholic or alcohol. I can't even say the word. Alcoholic in recovery. An atheist, free thinker, whatever you want to call me. Yeah, this all came really quickly. Like I was in a meeting and Mark messaged me and said, "Oh, you'd be a great speaker." And I'm like, "What is this place? Like I've never heard of it. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Is it Tuznua?" Anyway, we'll go with that. So of course I looked it up and I thought, "Oh yeah, okay." And he sent me all the links. And anyway, then Jim asked me to speak as well. And I thought, so I love this. I love it. This is my third meeting now. And I've decided this is the way I'm going. So I'll tell you a little bit. I can talk underwater, but I won't, I promise, take the hour up, but I will be wary. And it's really, really scary, Jim, giving me free rein to spend as long as I want to talk. I'm just warning you all. I hope you all had a toilet break before you came. No, I'm going to be a good girl. So just a little bit about my story, because I'm sort of wanting to talk more about where I am now and my journey in the last 11, almost 11 months. I'll be 11 months sober on Friday, and today's Tuesday here, Monday night your time, I guess. But yeah, so getting there. Very normal upbringing when it came to alcohol. Was it normal? It was the 1970s, I guess. So, nothing much was normal in the 70s. And I was the youngest of five children. And my next sibling, closest to me, was 9 years older, a sister. And then much, much older and got up to 15 years older than me. So, you can imagine I was full when I was aware of, when my memory started, I guess I was probably what, four or five, or whenever your memories start. And I had hippie teenagers all around, and we were the party house, the fun house. Everyone's friends ended up at our house. There was always a house full of people everywhere, and there was alcohol free flowing all the time. There was, I hate to say it, but there probably were drugs and that sort of stuff around. I know my brothers had trouble, but I was protected from it all. So I thought I had the happiest childhood in the world. I was a bit of a prima donna, and but I was treated. I was allowed to be. I was allowed to be get whatever the hell I wanted, and I did. We grew up wealthy, didn't end up that way because, funnily enough, guess what? When you spend all your money and you don't save for the future, what happens? You go bankrupt and broke. So eventually my parents ended up with nothing. But I had a what I thought was a great childhood. Things happened and I was protected from them. But was it a crazy house? Yeah. Anyway, so that's but I what I want to say is that I had I've heard so many stories in both in rehab. I was in rehab for 2 months last year. And also in AA in the rooms and free thinking meetings and that sort of stuff. And I didn't have some of the awful things that I've heard happen to people. I know we all have our stuff. And I guess rehab and psychologists and group psychotherapy made me realize, yeah, I've got some stuff, but I keep saying it's nowhere near as bad as other people's stuff I've heard about. I've heard about people that lived in cars at 15 or kicked out of home on the streets, all sorts of, you've heard it all. And I don't have that. And I sort of think, well, why did I become an alcoholic for a start? And, I don't really have the history to say, poor me, poor me. Oh, this is why. And a lot of people have sort of said, well, no, you do. You've got this, this, and this. So anyway, normal drinking life, really all my life. Did I drink a lot? Yes, but not more than anyone else, sometimes less. Sometimes I was telling other people to stop drinking because they become dickheads and I wasn't as drunk as them. So I drank all around the world with my husband. We were very blessed to, he had high, jobs that took us overseas all the time. And I always talk about BC. So my life BC was very different, BC being before children. There's sort of Peter and Tanya. Oops. I was supposed to say his name. Oh well, too bad. There was Peter and Tanya before BC, before children, and then after. And we drank really normally. And I kept drinking normally. And I'm 53 and a half now. And I really only have The problem of alcohol really was, I guess, well, now that I'm almost 11 months sober, I guess I have to say it's sort of like 2.5 to 3 years ago. Really when I turned probably 50. Otherwise it was normal. It really was. Really normal relationship. Surprising given how I was brought up, I guess. And one of my sisters is an alcoholic. She lives in America. She's lived there for about 38 years, 35 years now. She married an American, had children. And she's been sober now for about 8 years, I think, probably. And my father, they said, well, I guess he was an alcoholic. He was a functioning alcoholic. And then my grandfather was on my mother's side, was a raging alcoholic. Anyway, so yeah, really three years ago, let's call it. I guess, I've got a lot of pain issues, a lot of autoimmune diseases, chronic pain. There are reasons I drank. I liked alcohol. I've heard a lot of people share saying they didn't even like it, but they knew from that first drink they just loved the way it changed them. For me, I've never had a problem with that. And I still sort of think about, do I go back and what if I could go back and go, hey, you're going to be an alcoholic. You are turning into one. You're going to be just like your sister, your dad, and whoever, and probably my other sister. But that's another story. But I know I can't do that. And I guess I was a stay-at-home mum, did some work for my husband had his own company and that sort of stuff. But I had a lot of time on my hands. My husband travelled a hell of a lot. And I guess when my son went to university, he went to college, as you call it, in America, and he actually lived in at college a whole, I don't know, 4 miles or something from our house, which is ridiculous and expensive. But it's what his father wanted, it did, and it's what he wanted to do. And you know what? At the end of the day, I look back and I know why. I mean, my older son, who's 23 now, he left home about 3 years ago. Gee, I wonder why. Even when I wasn't drinking too much, my husband and I would drink, and he's not an alcoholic. He drank a lot. We didn't create a stable environment. We were very volatile. We still are, but we are better now. Volatile people, and we argued and yelled and screamed and got in arguments. And alcohol, of course, fueled it and didn't make it any better. So no wonder my son wanted to leave home as soon as he could. At the age of 19, just after, actually in between COVID, he left home. And then my younger son wanted to go to college. Well, of course he did. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to get out of this screaming, unstable, not so happy environment? And he witnessed a lot of my drinking when it became out of control a couple of years ago, 3 years ago. And I just got, I was bored. I had a lot of time in my hands. He'd left to go to college. My husband was traveling. I was at home in the house all day long with no job, nothing to do. I had some friends that I could see during the week, which I did. And it just got daily. I mean, it was daily for a while, but just daily at night time. And it looks, I had a lot of chronic pain, obviously, but as I've said, and I thought that that was helping with the pain. I drank a lot to help my physical pain, on a lot of medications, and even my husband and people kept telling me, and doctors, that the more alcohol you drink, the less effective the medications can be. I didn't believe them. I didn't care. I didn't care. Alcohol gave me some relief from the pain. And so it got to a daily thing. It got to when my husband was traveling and my son was in college during the semester. I was doing it all the time, all the day, during the day. Not all day, every day, but then it did became that, and then it became when my husband was home, I had to hide it, and I became a person I didn't like, but I didn't care at the time. I lied, I hid bottles under the mattress in the linen cupboard, all that sort of stuff. So I really think, I know I can't go back and say, hey, I used to joke with my other sister, the one that's not sober, who we think is an alcoholic. Everyone does, but that's her life, and she's on her own journey. But we used to joke, oh, I could never become an alcoholic because I couldn't possibly give up drinking. And that was a joke in our family. I'm in that situation. So I look back at it, and that's what happened. Anyway, so finally hit my rock bottom, got my shit together, finally admitted to my husband, I needed help. I couldn't do it alone. I needed rehab, and I knew it. So yeah, I got into rehab. Spent 2 months there, got a lot of help. I really did. Learned a lot about myself. And then I did the AA thing, which there was a rehab that only talked to you about AA and NA and took us to meetings and all that sort of stuff, hospitals and institutions. We would have Zoom meetings and whatnot. And so I did what I was told, even though I really couldn't stand the God thing, and I couldn't stand those horrible parchment banners with the scrolly, awful writing and the big God in red with the big cursive G and I struggled, and I walked in there really anti-AA and anti all that stuff. And then, but you know, it's got some great advice, great merits, great sayings, great program in a way. So I came out, I did all the right things. I tried to get over the God part, and I like science, I like statistics, I like research. I'm not saying I don't take turmeric for my inflammation. I do, you know. I do yoga now, and I meditate. So I've got some fluffiness in there as well. But I'm a science-based person, yeah. So I go with the modern medicine. But so that's about the God thing. Anyway, I got out. I did all the right things. And it didn't bother me too much until it did. So what I want to talk about really is where I am now. So I got my shit together, rehab, blah blah. Worked on myself, did a lot about, but I still, I attended some traditional AA meetings, and I still had a home group there, and another one I go to on Fridays, two in-person ones. But when sort of it just all got too much, and something happened where I was told by the host of a meeting, I was co-host, that I had to believe in God because I would never stay sober otherwise, and I would never be successful. And then she told my friend, who is a believer, and that's great. I don't care if you believe in God, religion, Buddha, whatever it is. Couldn't care less. Whatever works for you, it just doesn't work for me. And I've never, ever, ever tried to put my opinions on how I feel about the word and religion, organized religion especially, on anyone else. But they've started pushing it on me and their way, and that's not right. But I was new. I'm still new. I mean, I'm still classed as a newcomer. I'm not a year yet. So I was vulnerable, and so my friend, who's a very big believer, but you know, she knew I was an atheist. We're still great friends now. Her sponsor, actually, who was the host of the meeting, told her that it was her duty and her job to talk me, took Tanya, into believing in God, or I would never stay sober. And I had to find a higher power, and I had to do all this, and it was her job to do that. So. And then, yeah, that became too much for me. And then I found secular, and I didn't know about it. No one educated me about it in rehab. It really kind of still pisses me off. It's not a resentment, I wouldn't say that, but it's something. It's motivation is what it is for me. I really want to, and I know I'm going to get pushback. I've been told by some old timers who in secular have been trying in Australia to get into rehabs, but I want to get into rehabs. That's my goal after a year, one day at a time. But that's my goal, is to educate people. There's more and more people out there that are atheists, agnostics, free thinkers, whatever you want to call us, humanists, naturalists, whatever the word is. You know, I found more and more people are coming up to me in after my meetings, after a traditional meeting or something, saying, oh, I'm really struggling with this, but I don't know what to do. And I've led a lot of people already in my 11, well, probably only in the last really 5 months. 4 months to secular and to free thinking meetings like this one. And it's like you can hear it in their voices when I talk to them on the phone, or you can see it in their eyes. They sparkle. They have this light and it's like, oh gosh, relief. Like, it's relief for me now. And that makes me happy and excited. And I that's one thing I really want to do. I really want to try to educate more people who need help. And I know for a fact, well, I don't know for a fact, but I'm pretty sure there are people that turn up to a meeting that might be quite religious heavy, let's call it, to be polite. And I'm not usually polite. The people that know me that they a lot. I know people have walked away. I know people run out. Well, not run out maybe, but you know, some people just don't come back. And you don't know. We don't know. Are they going to go home and drink themselves to death? Don't know. They might, then they could, and I bet you some people have, and that's just wrong. And I don't want that on my conscience. So, but look, I tried to get relevant, and I've crapped on a lot, but about the past, but now it is, I'm a happy person. I'm a happy side person. And if you asked me 11 months ago if I could be feeling this great about life, not drinking, I would have called you all sorts of expletives. And I would not believe how happy I am now. But in the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've struggled again with some traditional AA meetings, the two that I was down to, just with some pushbacks and one woman sort of just stopped being friendly to me, stopped talking to me. I've had some newcomers come up to me after the meetings and ask me questions, and other people have heard that. So it's not even like I'm in a meeting going, "Hi, I'm a Tanya, I'm an atheist, and you have to believe not believe in God." Not that. Have I ever did anything like that? Someone called me narrow-minded a couple of weeks ago and did it twice after I'd literally just talked to a newcomer about secular and that sort of stuff because they were so excited. Anyway, so that's my goal and that's where I'm at now. And now I have decided, I made the final decision a couple of days ago after a lot of thought. And that's the difference between, I kind of talk about the old Tanya and the new Tanya. It's like a sort of two of me. And the old Tanya was judgmental, narcissistic, selfish, and this was without the drinking. This was before the drinking became a problem. I realized, I mean, I was and am a decent human being. I always have been, but I had these elements of, I really was judgmental, all that stuff I just said. And going through this process of recovery, I've learned a hell of a lot about myself, and I'm still working on myself every day, but I've changed a lot, and the people around me that love me and know me have noticed that too, and they tell me, which is really nice. And it's not like I'm sitting here going, "Oh, I'm so awesome, go me," because I'm not, and I'm not perfect. I love the saying, "Progress, not perfection." That's exactly what I'm doing. That I'm doing the work. I'm putting the work in every day, and I have made sure I have done that ever since I got to rehab, really. And yeah, so I made the decision. That's it. I'm done. Jonathan knows this. I'm done. Traditional AA, I'm done with. I feel like I've been held back. I feel like there have been lots of meetings where I haven't been able to be authentic. I feel like it hasn't impacted my sobriety. It hasn't impacted my recovery yet. And I don't want it to. And I'm not going to let it get to that stage. So I'm just doing secular and free thinking from now on. And so many people have tried to tell me what to do and tell me how to run my program, if you want to call it my program. And I was a sucker. I didn't know any better. I didn't know, so I just did what I was sort of told. So I was sort of half in, half out. I'm now 100% in secular and 100% out of traditional, I guess you'd say. So, and I'm really happy with that decision. It didn't come lightly. I've given a lot of thought, and I've spoken to a lot of people in the last week. And yeah, so I've resigned from the committee that I was on in my home group, which was my home group, which is no longer, had some really nice messages back from some people, and which is lovely, and some not so, not so long. 12 words was one. Yeah, so it is what it is. So I'm really happy about that, and that's where I'm at. But yeah, I remember when I was in rehab, one of the best things one of the facilitators said to me was, "Think of yourself as in intensive care for the first 12 months." And that's what I've done. I do I go to a pub now occasionally and have a non-alcoholic beverage with my husband? Yeah. We still have no alcohol in the house. We have no intention of keeping alcohol in the house again. It will come back into the house for the footy season, which starts in a couple of weeks, but it'll be a matter of my son having some mates over with some beer. And whatever's left, they'll take to the neighbours, or they'll take with them. I'm fine with it, but we've decided not to do that, not to have it just sitting around. Why be tempted? And it's everywhere, as you guys know in America. I mean, you've got liquor stores and every shop corner you have. We're the same. I mean, I've got two Dan Murphys, we call it here in Australia, massive, huge, huge superstores of wine and liquor and alcohol and everything you can possibly think of. I've got three of them within, what is miles, 2 miles of me, something. It's crazy. So it's everywhere, but I've learned to finally let go. I really have. And this decision about secular has made me Very, very relieved and very happy and very zen. There you go. I'm being a hippie again. Matches my hippie dress. But yeah, I'm really happy about it. And the compulsion and the obsession is gone. And only in the last 4 weeks, when I've been grappling with a lot of this stuff and medical stuff and pain, bizarrely, I've woken up every day thinking positive thoughts, saying positive things, even though I might be grumpy and tired and in pain. Bizarre. It's like it just, and it's not a job or a chore anymore like it was in the first maybe sort of 7 or 8 months. It's just coming naturally now, and that's the beauty of recovery, I guess, and sobriety. And yeah, I've become a better person, and I'm still make mistakes. Obviously, I still burp, I still fart, I still swear, and I'm trying not to. But I'm getting better at that sort of stuff every day. And I do a gratefulness every night. I find something to be grateful for every night. I don't let anything annoy me and eat away at me. I bring it up with my husband or whoever it is, and we talk about it. May not be that night, but it'll be the next day. I can't steal. Like, I used to steal when I was, only when I was drinking and I was drunk, when it became a problem. And I was saying to someone the other day, I can't even eat a grape. You pick a grape to try a grape in the supermarket to make sure we're okay before you grab a bunch. I can't even do that anymore. I mean, that's a good thing. I know that. It's a little bit ridiculous, but it's about me, and I know, and I'm accountable. I'm accountable to you guys, but I'm accountable to myself, and I'm accountable to my recovery. And yeah, I'm a happy recovering alcoholic, and I never thought it was possible to think of a future without alcohol. It was part of every holiday, it was part of my family, it was part of everything. We were the fun house too. So there you go. Yeah, so I think that's probably covered most of what I want to say. I want people to know that it's possible. No one ever, I never thought I could be happy like this ever. And the future doesn't look so long anymore. The thought of not ever drinking again and not ever having an alcoholic beverage and not a cocktail by the pool or whatever it is that you try to overcome, the thought was just devastating, absolutely devastating. I couldn't imagine it. But now I can, and now I'm happy with it. I wake up refreshed, even if I've got insomnia and I can't sleep. Well, big deal. You can sleep and have a nap. I don't wake up feeling like an absolute piece of crap every day. I don't feel like I'm not a very nice person inside when I know I deep down I am. And that's gold. And I've got a great support from my family. Great support. Like, it's incredible. I've been with my husband for, oh God, 3 and a half years, something like that. And I always say you get less for murder. You really actually do. So he stuck around through a lot of crap. Very supportive. My sons are supportive. They're 20 and 23. And my sister's supportive. One of them, two of them, sort of, they are. But it's just, I've got great friends too. Great friends. People that drink, but people that aren't alcoholics, normies, as we call them. But I've been very lucky like that. And then sometimes I say I'm lucky that this compulsion and the obsession, and I never really had the cravings. I really didn't. I had the thoughts of why can't I, or oh, how am I going to live without drinking? But I never really had the cravings. I never had the white knuckling. I probably had it one moment in rehab when I received some bad news, but hey, I was in rehab. What was I going to do? Drink toilet water? So there was nothing to drink anyway. So I say I was lucky, and a few old timers have said to me, "No, you're not lucky, Tanya. Don't say that. You put in the work. You've put in the work. You put in the work every day. You come to a meeting every day. I do a meeting every day, not because I have to, because I want to. I like it. I love it. And hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And it's worked for almost 11 months now, so I'm not going to change anything. The only thing I've changed is no more traditional AA. It's all secular and free thinking for me. And that's all I need is I don't need someone to tell me." Like a sponsor to tell me to read this part of the book and write a note in this. And I don't need a sponsor to tell me to ring them every morning. And I don't need a sponsor to list three good things I'm grateful for and ring them and tell them. And I'm not going to be someone's puppet. And that's what I felt like. And I'm not going to be a puppet with a puppeteer telling me when to jump and do stuff. And I've worked out that it's possible to stay sober and be a decent human being without all that stuff. But no one tells you that when you start off. And if that's what you like, go for it. Have a sponsor. Do all that. I just have worked out finally. I was talking to one of my gorgeous newcomers, and she was on here, but I think she's had to go. Oh no, she wasn't on here. She's a lollipop lady. Anyway, she She was saying something to me today about, so you finally got comfortable with being comfortable. And I'm like, wow, I didn't think about that. Yeah, I've been comfortable and secular a long time and free thinkers a long time, but I wasn't comfortable being comfortable with it. I thought it was wrong still because people kept telling me you had to do all this stuff a different way. And you know what? I love that. You know, this lady's early to sobriety. I've met her like twice maybe. And we talk on the phone and stuff. And I said to her, do you know what? You've just taught me something today. And now I understand why in a lot of meetings they say the newcomer is the most important person in the room. Because I'm technically a newcomer for another month and a couple of days, I guess. But I'm learning from the lovely newcomers I'm talking to, a few ladies. And that's amazing. So my job is, I believe, and not my job, I want to do it. I'm excited to do it. Pass it all on, but definitely pass on this secular free thinking stuff because there are way too many people that are probably turning away from traditional meetings, traditional 12-step programs like AA and stuff that need help and can't cope with it, the God stuff and that. So no God bashing from me. You know, whatever floats your boat, couldn't care less. Just I know there's other people out there that need what I've discovered, and I don't want them to take almost 11 months to figure it out. I really don't. I don't want anyone to take as long as I've taken to figure it out, to become happy and relaxed and relieved with it. So yeah, bring it on. Thanks for these meetings. I think they're wonderful. And I'm going to be coming to a lot more of them from now on. And sometimes in my pajamas, but you can never tell because I've got a singlet top on. So I put a dress on today, so I'm not in my pajamas. So thanks, Jim. Thanks, everyone. I've no idea how long I've babbled on for. Oh my Lord, a long time. Oops. Okay, I'm done. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you, everybody.